Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Paul A. Laudisina is the chairman of the Global Business Policy Council. Paul founded the GBPC in 1992 as a forum for CEOs and thought leaders to focus on assessing global strategic opportunities and risk management. Since 2006, he served as A.T. Kearney's managing partner and chairman of the board. Paul has more than 25 years of global consulting and management experience in industry, government, and research institutions. His areas of specialization include global business strategy, risk management, and foreign direct investment. He has twice been named to Consulting Magazine's annual ranking of the top 25 most influential consultants and is the author of a number of articles and books on global strategic issues, including World Out of Balance. Paul, welcome to Edgewise.
Very pleased to be with you, Dave.
Now, in the 6 years since you were elected chairman and managing partner at A.T. Kearney, the firm has gone through a significant transformation from a subsidiary of a larger global service firm to a management-owned company. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. Back in 2005, when my partners and I initiated our management buyout, Morgan Stanley referred to our firm as one that was on chemotherapy. And now, in the space of 5+ years, we have been not only restored to health, growing robustly in all markets around the world, but also have the highest scores of employee engagement that our external HR advisors have ever seen. Our employees, who were quite dispirited and disjointed around the world, now in 95% plus ratings, indicate that they are completely committed to the success of the firm.
That's phenomenal. How have you managed that transformation?
The key to our transformation was, in part, trying to understand and reassert the values that were essential to the success of our firm when we were established during the height of the Depression. And our founder, Tom Kearney, wrote, "Our success as consultants will depend upon the essential rightness of the advice we give and our capacity for convincing those in authority that it is good." So we reached back to try and understand what helped determine our early 7 decades of success, and to reaffirm what was responsible for that success and then carry it forward with a more dynamic look about the future needs of our clients and the marketplace so that we not only build on the firm foundation, but also have this important forward focus.
Right.
There couldn't have been a more difficult time for us to be taking on that transformation in terms of what was happening in the very competitive world of global management consulting and how businesses were being transformed not only in the crucible of globalization, but in the aftermath of how the risks associated with integration and global connectedness were manifesting themselves in some very strong ways. In short, we began this process of transformation by aligning around a common set of values and principles. We set about creating an organizational structure that supported those values, and we now have this momentum going that we're also very excited about.
Can the lessons learned from your own transformation be applied to your clients in other industries?
Very much so. First, it's clear that all organizations in the heady days of the roaring 90s, the globalization boom, were so struck by the pace of change on the one hand and their ability to make money on the other, that they lost sight of the fact that the world was not just a world of great opportunity, but a world also fraught with tremendous risk. They also decommissioned, in many cases, robust strategic planning processes, which would allow them to look out over the horizon, not just within their own business domains, but importantly, peripherally, to understand all of those forces of future development and change shaping the business environment.
for instance?
Other economic and commercial actors, as well as the geopolitical environment, social environments, demographic changes.
Right.
And so you need to have robust strategic planning processes which allow you to look at all of the variables that are providing both opportunity and constraint to be able to inform your own internal planning as well as your external and market-facing position.
Okay, now what's another factor?
The second relates to organizational culture. We spent a good deal of time early on looking at those characteristics that were core to what made us us.
Hmm.
Not just our unique selling proposition, but what attracted our employees, attracted our clients, and for so many years propelled our organization forward. And it was not just the essential rightness that was at the heart of the Kearney value proposition from the beginning, but also the way we do business internally as well as with our clients. We were an organization that was collaborative, authentic, and forward-thinking. And so the passion that comes from having an aligned and clearly identified culture is essential
right.
for any organization that's trying to transform itself to focus on. And then finally, organizations need to focus on creating value, and then the wealth follows.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain this concept to us?
Yep. In the late years of the globalization boom, too often we were focused on wealth generation and transactions that generate wealth rather than value-based relationships, which should lead to wealth generation.
Okay, so summing up, what do you see as the critical success factors associated with a transformation?
Strategic focus, cultural grounding, and then strong, purposeful development of relationships and value that are fundamentally innovative and forward-thinking are, I think, essential to any transformation.
All right. Let's say a company wants to rebuild their business model. How can they do that?
The first step is an outside-in look. Understand the environment in which your business is operating, not just today, but try and look out over the horizon to understand the forces that are shaping the business environment.
Right.
They are globalization, demographics, environment and natural resources, also regulation and activism, and the new consumer. Understand what the consumer demands and requirements are going forward.
Right.
All of those forces are turbocharged by technology.
So what is the advice there?
Firms have a tendency, mistakenly, to look inside and say, what is it we need to do to change ourselves to be more successful? But you need to begin by looking outside and understanding the environment in which your business is shaped, and then look inside and say, how is it that our core purpose and our capabilities are or are not aligned with that world and our customer and client base and their requirements?
This is an interesting question I have for you. Charles Handy, very significant business thought leader, in one of his books, makes the argument for undergoing a personal or corporate change, not when everything's going wrong, but when everything's going right. How do you respond to that?
I think very highly of Charles Handy, as I do of Peter Drucker, who said, companies go into crisis when there is a change in the theory of business which underlies the fundamental ways in which they operate. And if a company is either much more successful than they expected or much less successful than they expected, then there's probably something wrong within the organization.
Hmm.
So you should not be so dramatically surprised by developments.
That's interesting.
Transformation is steady state. It's not just something that you do because you're in crisis or because you're performing well. It is a continuous process of change. Peter Drucker says strategy is a sense of direction around which you need to improvise.
Right.
So in this day and age, when there is this steady pace of disruptive change and rapid and inexpensive movement of people, goods, capital, and ideas, transformation will be required because business models will continue to transform, and companies that don't try and anticipate and get ahead of that curve are going to be overtaken by it.
Okay, let's take a look at another issue, and that's human factors. How, if at all, should you also be reinventing your workforce?
You need to begin by focusing on the principles of culture and behavior. What fundamentally differentiates the value proposition that one organization provides from that of another is the culture of the organization. And that culture needs to be grounded in values.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think for the first time in history, there is this intersection of doing good and doing well. When we created our new vision, every A.T. Kearney employee was handed a vision card which had the essential rightness of what we do, statement by Tom Kearney. And on the back, the postscript to the vision statement is, by doing good, we do well for our clients, ourselves, and our community, and we do this with passion for people, ideas, and the world in which we live.
Mm-hmm.
What drives passion among your employees, and therefore drives successful organizations, is not only creating value mm-hmm. and wealth opportunity for our clients, and by extension ourselves, but also delivering on the broad needs of stakeholders beyond, delivering value to society. That's all about the values of an organization. Organizations that don't first establish and then align around values which allow them to look out ahead and deliver on the needs of their customers and clients effectively, consistent with the needs of the community at large, will have a much more difficult time getting the engagement of their employees that's so critical to any success.
Now, you're currently writing a book on, among other things, information overload. How does the fact that we are almost drowning in information impact a transformative initiative?
Complexity of all kinds kills value. The more we confuse ourselves with extraneous facts that are much more accessible today, given the 24/7, 360-degree swirl of information we have, the more difficult it is for us to have the clarity that's necessary to make decisions.
Exactly.
Technology and globalization have exponentially increased our inputs and choices, and that is not going to change. At the same time, there's a lack of fundamental shared purpose on which people and organizations are able to build a firm foundation that inspires and sparks action. What one needs to do is have a rigorous process of being an information omnivore.
Sure.
You need to absorb all kinds of information, not just about your business domain, but more broadly about the business environment that drives this complexity. And you have to pause and take stock of what you're trying to achieve, focus on relationships, looking at not just short-term, but also longer-term relationship building, and think flexibly mm-hmm. about the future so that when you get new inputs and you find that the basis on which you are making decisions is perhaps no longer valid, you're able, as Drucker said, to change direction as you need to and innovate with the kind of flexibility which is going to allow an organization to be successful. It is a state of mind
right.
of how you open yourself to a diverse set of inputs, how you are able to sort through them and understand which of them are extraneous to your critical decision making and which of them are essential to it. And then you purposefully make decisions, but you're prepared to change direction as changes in the business environment and business conditions right. invariably will require.
We've been speaking to Paul Laudisina, who is the founder and chairman of the Global Business Policy Council, and he's A.T. Kearney's managing partner and chairman of the board. Paul, thank you so much for being with us on Edgewise today.
Thank you very much, Dave.
The American Management Association has an international presence, adding value to your organization by involving you in a global community of peers and practitioners via one of the world's most sophisticated knowledge exchange networks. Today, AMA's global reach extends from Management Center Europe in Brussels to Management Center de Mexico in Mexico City, from the Canadian Management Center in Toronto to AMA Japan in Tokyo. And since 1995, AMA has served the Chinese market through the Asia-Pacific Management Institute in Shanghai. We'd love to get your feedback on today's program. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.